Today we're joined by Stephen Milner of Gen2 Fund Services, Scott Zimmerman of EY, and Ian Cameron of the Washington State Investment Board. Gentlemen, welcome to PrivCap today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks, David.
So we're talking about the importance of transparency and sort of infrastructure in the private equity business. And one really important trend that's going on in private equity is the increased outsourcing of many fund administration tasks to third parties. Steve, that's your business. And so I'm wondering if you can help us, look at private equity compared to other asset classes and where it is as far as a group of firms that outsource or don't outsource.
When we look at trends, we look at 40 Act funds, we look at hedge funds, and then we look at private equity. And there's a lag between those asset classes. So right around the financial crisis and the Madoff situation, you saw hedge funds, which largely used external administration, go almost exclusively to an outsourced model. That effect is starting to ripple through in the private equity sector. I mean, if you look at Scott's survey, the E&Y survey, it talks about people think that about 30% of private equity funds today outsource. But if you look at what's projected going forward, it goes to 50 to 60% in the next 5 years. So there's clearly a trend towards outsourcing.
Even within the survey, and we're talking about 8-9 different functions, defined within finance. So, tax compliance is something that's, outsourced. Fund accounting, regulatory, any kind of reporting, to the extent administrators have better control over their data and the information and can help facilitate and make it easier on the fund finance groups. And I think after the survey, we talked about it a little bit before, we have roundtables, and it's been kind of interesting to see the change in the attitudes over the last 3 years, where private equity first was, I don't even want to talk about it, okay, for the most part. Then you started to see, well, maybe. This year, it's more yes. We would really like to understand a lot more about what they can do, their capabilities. So I think you're going from I don't really think it's necessary to okay, let's explore it. And to your point, now you're just kind of, in another 3-4 years, it should be much more than just exploring.
Ian, as a large limited partner, what is the case for private equity firms outsourcing their fund administration? Why would that be a sort of a net positive in your eyes?
Well, I think it's all the things we've talked about. I mean, when you think about, the structure, you can check the box on your internal controls, getting those, the certification need for SSA 16 reports, if I've got that right, that pronouncement. But it's all those things allows us to quickly get there. Once you have confidence in a certain administrator, then it also limits the amount of work we have to do, too. So if you've got, if it's centric to several different administrators or one administrator, you can obviously just go there once and cover a lot of GPs with just one visit, which is helpful for us in terms of that diligence process. But I think at the end of the day, if you've got, a good reputable firm behind you, it really allows you to check all those boxes and be able to come back and say, yeah, I've got my organizational structure and my ducks in a row.
Well, let's talk a bit about the size of private equity firm and the considerations there. So, groups like Blackstone, Carlyle have massive resources to, create, very complex and very high quality back offices, firm infrastructure. But how about like a medium-sized firm? I mean, it must be a bit more challenging for groups like this to think about, should I build it myself or should I let someone else do it and pay a fee?
So you're right. If you look at the publicly traded private equity funds, by and large, they do their internal work without outsourcing. When you look at the groups in the middle, there's a greater consideration to using outsourcing. And the reason for that is we've had a significant growth in the regulatory burden that's affecting private equity firms. So you have a confluence of demands upon a sponsor. And a sponsor now has to look and say, do I want to build something that, and I need to think about scalability and attracting talent, or do I hand this off to somebody who makes it their business? And so we're seeing that decision. We're seeing that process take place. And it's unfolding as we speak.
Scott, maybe talk a bit more about scalability. I mean, as a private equity firm, as a business, at some point finds it difficult to do everything in-house, right?
Oh, sure. And even on the mega firms, I mean, I think when you look at ratios of, say, investment professionals to finance, you actually see the ratios drop, meaning there's more finance people per investment. And I think, yeah, the big firms have the ability, but they're also very siloed, and they've gone and invested in so many different, call it subclasses or different asset classes than private equity. It's almost like a private capital, private debt kind of thing. And I think the next tier down is starting to think the same way. They need to grow assets. They want to generate fees. And as you get more complex, without real technology in the market, where you can go to the market and say, hey, off the shelf, I'm going to pull this product, put it together, and now I can scale. It's just not there. They kind of wave the white flag and say, Stephen, you know, can you help us? And so I think scalability and the lack of technology moves directly to, you know, a group that can do it for you.
I think this surprised most folks, but if you really understand their asset class, you'll find that the system that PE sponsors use is called Excel. It's a spreadsheet-driven world that we work in. If you think about spreadsheets, they're very creative. You can do a whole bunch of things with them, but you can't scale them. And they're very hard to protect against user error.
I mean, the data requirements that we have are only continuing to expand. And so just getting that infrastructure in place is not enough. You've got to be investing in your technology to be able to keep up with, you know, a lot of the pensions are becoming, bringing a lot of the management in-house. That's increasing the demand. When we look at our own portfolio, the entire portfolio across all asset classes, the demand for information at a granular level, even within portfolio companies, is only increasing.
Is there a classic profile of a private equity firm that is kind of on the fence about whether or not they should outsource? I mean, is Stephen, in your recent experience, you know, what's the kind of firm that's finally saying, you know what, we have all this stuff in spreadsheets, we should probably think about finally getting some help?
You know, it seems to me when I'm observing what's currently going on, it's a firm that's going through transition. So maybe they're on fund three or fund four. The senior management is starting to change. The CFO is starting to change. And that new management that wants to continue the legacy of the firm is looking and speaking to LPs and realizing that they've underinvested in their back office in the past, and they can't continue to do so. So they have a decision tree to look at, and I think outsourcing becomes a very compelling part of that decision tree as new management evaluates the direction of the business.
As the CFO becomes more and more of the individual that's really running the operations of the business, they don't have the time nor the capacity, and they've got a problem with talent in the marketplace to fill those voids. And so I think it's whether you're big, small, or medium, to the extent your role as a CFO is enhanced or increasing in visibility, you've got to have help.
Look at our LPAs now, and where you used to have a paragraph that discussed fees and how those were going to work and what they looked like. Now you've got 3, 4 pages, 5 pages. They're becoming a thicker part of the document. So when you sign up for that, you're going to need an infrastructure that's capable of producing that information and delivering it in a way that's, you know, intuitively valuable for the LPs.
I think the run-resisting kind of force there, David, is, you know, the quality of those administrators. And I think there's a really, you know, there's a spectrum. You know, Stephen's firm is very highly regarded within the marketplace as folks that really know private equity.
In order to be a functional administrator today, you need size. You need capital to invest in your infrastructure. You need capital to address cybersecurity. You need capital for talent, both to bring talent in and also to retain that talent.